Madhyalila, the Lord travels to the holy places. Text 361. And we're going to finish the chapter, so it's a few verses. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Chaitanya Charita Shuna Shraddha Bhakta Kori. Matsarya Chadiya Mukhe Bala Hari Hari. Please hear the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and devotion. Giving up envy of the Lord, everyone chant the holy name, the Lord's holy name. Hari! E kali kali aranahi kona dharma. Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra e kava marma. In this age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnava devotees and the Vaishnava scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. Pretty heavy statement. In the age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnava devotees and Vaishnava scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. Prabhupada says, one must have firm faith in the process of devotional service and the scriptures that support it. If one hears the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this faith, he can be freed from his envious position. It's like what Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu was saying last week. He said that the philosophy is so important because if we don't understand the philosophy, then we won't understand what we're doing. And that's not a good idea. You want to understand what you're doing. You want to know what you're doing. Might be helpful, you know, if you're trying to do something. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for such non-envious persons. Nirmat saranam satam. In this age, a person should not envy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, but should chant the holy names of Hari and Krishna, the Maha Mantra. That's the sum and substance of eternal religion known as Sanatana Dharma. In this verse, the word Vaishnava refers to pure devoting, fully realized soul, and the word Vaishnava Shastra refers to Shruti, or the Vedas, which are called Shabda Praman, the evidence of transcendental sound. One who strictly follows the Vedic literature and chants the holy name of the Lord will actually be situated in transcendental disciplic succession. Those who want to attain life's ultimate goal must follow this principle. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Shruti pratyaksham atihyam anumanam chatushtayam pramaneshvan navashtanad vikalpatsa virajyate. Vedic literature, direct perception, history, and hypotheses are the four kinds of evidential proofs. Everyone should stick to these principles for the realization of the absolute truth. Chaitanya Chandra Lila Agada Gambira. Pravesha Karite Nari Sparshi Rahi Tira. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an unfathomable ocean. It is not possible for me to enter into it. Simply standing on the shore, I am but touching the water. Chaitanya Charita Shraddhaya Shuniyejan. Yateka Vicharitata Pai Premadan. The more one hears the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, analytically studying them, the more one attains the ecstatic riches of love of Godhead. The ecstatic riches of love of Godhead. Sanatana Goswami, talking to Lord Chaitanya, said there's three treasures of life. Krishna, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna. Those are the three treasures of life. So try to remember that. The three treasures of life. And by hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we'll attain ecstatic riches of love of God. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. As usual, the author concludes the chapter by reciting the names of Sri Rupa and Raghunath and reinstating himself at their lotus feet. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 9th chapter, describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to the holy places of South India. I want to continue a little bit of reading here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from Adi 2. Because I picked up on that point of one should not be envious. It's very difficult to do anything if you're envious. And unfortunately, you wouldn't be in the material world if you weren't envious. It's all based on choices. I wanted to try to talk about gratitude today as my theme. Everybody knows what gratitude means, right? Gratitude, it means thankful. It means being grateful, appreciating what you've been given. And when the jiva meets the spiritual master and he gets the bhakti lata bij, this is the most important gift you could ever get, and it's you can't ever pay it back. But the serious, sincere disciple, he tries every day of his life to pay back his spiritual master for saving him and for giving him enlightenment. So this is the basic process of Vaishnavism, is that we have something and we're going to give it to others. Prabhupada, I was just listening last night, Prabhupada said, you must preach. You cannot sit idly and show your gorgeousness by chanting Hare Krishna, imitating Haridas Thakur. Prabhupada said, you can't do it, but even if you can do that, it's for your own safety. So, he said, you can't do that. But even if you can do that, that is for you. It doesn't go to the other jivas that are really needed. So that's why Bhakti Sananta always tries to make the point that, he, just like this morning after Mangali read that, Bhakti Sananta said that, Vaishnava K, what kind of Vaishnava are you? You go to a dushtaman, right? You go to a secluded place. Well, Prabhupada's mood is nothing like that. Prabhupada's mood is, we go out, wherever there's more jivas, wherever there's more congestion, wherever there's more, we go there. Because when we go there, we can distribute more Krishna there. I met a guy from Glasgow yesterday in the mall in Orlando. And he was asking, he gave me $20 and he was looking at the book going, what is it? What exactly is this really about? What is it? And his wife comes up and she goes, it's Hare Krishna. We see him on the street in Glasgow. What are you talking about? That's what we do. Wherever there's people, wherever there's congestion, there's devotees there. And what are they doing there? They're giving him prasadam, they're giving him books, they're giving him the holy name. Anyway, this is a nice purport. I'll tell you the verse too, because it's kind of... I'll tell you the verse. This is the verse before, then I'll tell you the verse. The holy name of Krishna is so powerful that by chanting even one name, one easily achieves all transcendental riches. The next verse says, if one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Chaitanya Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants Hare Krishna, he feels ecstasy of love of God. So how important is this Gaur Nitai thing? It's Kali Yuga. It's not just Kali Yuga. It's the golden Kali Yuga, where pretty much all you got to do is die and you get liberated, because Lord Chaitanya already liberated the entire universe by his kirtan, and this is evidenced by Haridas Thakur. He asked Haridas Chaitanya, he says, what will I do with all these fallen souls? And Haridas Thakur said, well, my Lord, your kirtan has already liberated the whole universe. And then the Lord said, well, what will happen? The universe will be empty. And Haridas Thakur said, no, and it will be filled up again with jivas looking for fruit of opportunity. So anyway, we find ourselves here. We're in the material world. We're here. We're stuck. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? So we, somehow or other, we got lucky and we got in contact with Prabhupada. Krishna, devotees came and saved us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks, if one takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda and follows their instructions to become more tolerant than a tree and humble like the grass, and in this way chants the holy name, very soon he achieves the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord. There are offenses to be considered in the chanting of Hare Krishna, but there are no considerations in chanting Gaura Nityananda. Therefore, Gaura Nityananda. If one chants Hare Krishna, but his life is still full of sin, you might find that you're living in Kali Yuga, and guess what? Your life is full of sin. And some are more full than others, but pretty much everybody's, according to this, full of sin. It'll be very difficult to achieve loving service to the Lord. But, well, here's the good news. If in spite of being an offender, one simply chants, Gaura Nityananda. See how easy that is? and then very quickly, all the offenses are gone. Therefore, one should always approach first Chaitanya and Nityananda and worship Guru Gauranga, and then come to the stage of worshiping Radha Krishna. For an ordinary man, worship of Chaitanya and Nityananda, or Panchatattva, is easier than worship of Radha Krishna. My Istadev at home, Panchatattva. Somehow or other, I got blessed. And one of the original Panchatattvas that was worshipped in a couple of temples on the altar, when they got deities, the Panchatattva paintings were taken off and put on the wall. So somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, Surah hooked me up. And I have my own Panchatattva, huge, you know, that was worshipped. And the Prabhupada that was on the Vyasa Sthan too. I think they were in Chicago and maybe Montreal. Anyway, but I like this. For an ordinary man, that'd be me. I'm just an ordinary man, ordinary guy. But for this ordinary man, the worship of Panchatattva is much easier than the worship of Radha Krishna. A neophyte who is sufficiently educated or enlightened should not indulge in worshiping Radha Krishna or even chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Even if he does so, he cannot get the desired result. Is that heavy? I was reading this, I was like, what? I was highlighting it. One should therefore, now here's the, this, he, you know, just in case you're worried. One should therefore chant the names Nitai Gaur, Nitai Gaur, and worship them without false prestige. And since everyone in the material world is more or less influenced by sin, in the beginning it is essential to take shelter of Guru Gauranga and ask their favor. For thus, despite all the disqualifications, one will very soon become qualified to worship Radha Krishna. It should be noted in this connection, the holy names of Lord Krishna and Gaura Sundar are both identical with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one shouldn't consider one name more potent than the other. Considering the position of people in this age, the chanting of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is more essential than chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, what do we get involved in here? What did we get into? Because Prabhupada said that we should all cooperate, work together, otherwise it won't please him. And Vaisheshika Prabhu is famous as always saying this. I've heard him say it at least a dozen times. You know what the most difficult thing to do, the hardest austerity you'll ever perform, ever, is to cooperate. Does everybody know what that means? To cooperate. It means to work together. It sounds easy. Sounds easy, right? We got a mission, we got a guru, we got God, we got a program. Let's all work together and do something for him, right? That sounds easy. Not as easy as it sounds. But if we stay engaged in Shravanam Kirtan, we can be safe. We can take shelter of Prabhupada by his association in his books. And Prabhupada told us that we should read. Why? So we can preach. Why? So we can get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. This comes from L.A., and I know Madan Mohan was there for this class. Prabhupada said, we have got this message from Krishna, from Lord Chaitanya, from the six Goswamis, then later on Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, And we are trying to do our bit also to distribute this knowledge. Our bit. You know, Prabhupada sat at Radha-Damodar Temple with an old typewriter and two fingers typed the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you imagine that? I mean, even with new modern stuff, you don't even have to type it anymore, you just say and it says. Prabhupada sat there diligently, day after day after month after year, putting together these books. It's just amazing. Not only that, back in the day, like when Lord Chaitanya found the Brahma Samhita, they found it, right, on a palm leaf, and then he took it to a scribe, and they said, here, copy this. And the scribes, I just learned this morning, most of the scribes were illiterate. They just copied. They give them a palm leaf, they give them a palm leaf, and they just scribe. You met anyway. So Prabhupada's scribing away, two fingers on this ancient. So Prabhupada says here, we are trying our bit. He saved the entire planet. The entire planet. Anywhere you go on this planet, somebody's seen Hare Krishna or heard Hare Krishna. Somebody heard the Beatles say Hare Krishna. Somebody's got, because of Prabhupada, typing away at Radhakundan back there with Jiva Goswami. And unbelievable. Anyway, so Prabhupada does say this. Now, 10th, 11th, 12th. My Guru Maharaj is 10th, I am 11th, and guess what? You are 12. Now, that's a huge responsibility. I mean, it went from Lord Chaitanya, the whole parampara, Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada, then us? Really? So, well, now that we've got the order, now, that's us. Us? Me? Really? They just dragged me out of a gutter and brought me in here. I didn't know. I don't even know why I'm here. So, Prabhupada says, you are the 12th, so distribute this knowledge because people are suffering. They are simply fighting on false thing of Maya. They should be given the real fact. Then he goes on to say a couple other things, and he says, we are not sentimental. We don't simply chant and dance. Now we have got more than 24 volumes of books. And if you want to learn it through science and philosophy, it is there. Now the next sentence is so funny. Prabhupada says, otherwise, the simple method, simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and you'll realize the whole thing. If that isn't the quick way, I just don't know what is. Now that doesn't mean that you should just sit there and chant. Although that's nice, sitting and chanting is wonderful. Prabhupada also stressed that if you don't read, that's my point here I'm trying to make, that if you don't read, you won't know what to preach. So we're supposed to read. Prabhupada said, I heard this morning in Vaishya's class, he was talking about chapter a day. If you chant a chapter of Gita a day, and he has this quote from Prabhupada from 67, I think, or it might have been 66, where Prabhupada said, yes, Bhagavad Gita should be read at least one chapter a day. So that's how Vaishya got inspired to start the chapter a day, which is really nice, I got to say. If you start chanting a chapter of Gita a day, you'll be surprised. You do more than one because you start reading it and you like it. What a shock. I remember when I got the Bhagavad Gita, I was walking down the street in Ann Arbor and Indra Bharta handed me a piece of incense and I gave him $5 and he was shocked, you know, and he said, I got to give you a book. And he didn't have a book in his bag, so he took me to his car and he gave me his personal Macmillan Gita that had just come out. And he opened it up and he showed me the picture of Krishna and Arjuna and he said, this is Krishna, Sri Krishna, I've got it, this is Arjuna. This tells you everything you'll ever need to know. You know, and he gives me the Gita. So I took it home and I put it on the shelf. And it sat there for about 6 months, I guess. But I never read it. And when I joined the temple, 6-7 months later, the devotees began to always say, are you reading? Are you reading? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'd open the Gita and I'd read like a paragraph and I'd fall asleep every single time. And it wasn't until I got with Vaish, and Vaish would make me read. He would make me walk or stand up. He'd put water on me. You know, he wouldn't let me sleep. So then you have to read. So anyway, so we're number 12. It's on us. We have the entire mission of the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. And we're supposed to go out and give it to everybody. So what's Prabhupada say about this? He's talking to... Prabhupada says... You go out there like that. Take the risk. Go out and preach and distribute. And what? They will arrest you. Prabhupada said, yes, we have got good experience. In London, they were arrested. And he looks to Gurudatta. How many times were you arrested? And Gurudatta says, three. And Prabhupada says, three times? Our record is our people were arrested 36 times. I got that beat. The Prabhupada said, but in Australia, they arrested us so many times, they've become disgusted. So now they don't arrest. They just let us go. I wish that had happened here. Anyway, so what do? We chant Hare Krishna. You go on the street, you chant Hare Krishna, distribute books, and then you will be put into jail. And then you will be free to chant Hare Krishna. The Prabhupada sees everything positively, you know? You went on Sankirtan, you got arrested. Now what? Oh, you'll be in jail. You can chant. The minister in charge of the jail department was perturbed because these people won't eat. They're allowed to give them kitchen facility and you can cook. But the devotees refused because they said, no, it's the same kitchen with meat. The Prabhupada said, they have flesh in that kitchen, so our men refused. So then after a few days, they let them loose. All right, go home. So, Prabhupada goes on to say, Yare Dako Tahi Kaho Krishna Upadesh. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. That you give Krishna to everyone. And this is Prabhupada's exact words. This is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Anyone you meet, any damn rascal or gentleman, it doesn't matter. Try to convince him about Krishna and let him inquire. Then his life will be successful. Simply the beginning of inquiry. What is Krishna? This means that his path of liberation becomes open immediately. So, how important is it for us to take up our 12th slot here in the mission of Lord Chaitanya to try to help the poor jivas who are obviously suffering? It's inevitable whenever I go in Sankirtan, no matter what I feel or my mood, or like yesterday I was really tired, I didn't want to go, and I had to drive all the way to Orlando. It's 99 degrees, and so I'm out there and I'm working, and as it always is, somebody comes, they come out of nowhere. You don't know where these people come from, but they're sent. Bhaktisiddhanta says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu puts his devotees into different situations and associations just to test their patience and strength of mind. And the success depends on their good fortune. So you're out there and I'm turning out a piece in each and every, please let me be humble, you know, because, you know, excuse me, hi, you're talking to people they don't really want to be talked to, they're shopping, and you go up to, hi, how you doing? And from out of nowhere comes this woman who doesn't know me, I don't know her, never saw her before in my life, and she can't stand it that I'm standing there giving out Krishna books. She just can't tolerate it and starts yelling at me, you can't do this, what are you doing, why are you doing it? I said, what? And she said, you can't do this here. And I said, watch this. And I walked up to this nice couple and I gave them lollipops and I gave them a Krishna book. The lady gave me $5. It was like, they just said, oh, thank you. And the lady just freaked out and ran down the hall. I don't know where she went. I didn't see her again. I was just glad she left. But this is what happens when you go out on Sankirtan. You just never know what's going to happen. Now, other things happen too. Very nice, positive things. I was at the corner like you always are at the corner. There's a guy there with a sign. And, you know, it says something like, please help, blah, blah, you know, God bless. So I always open my window and I look around and I go, I can't find any money, but I have this book and I have this lollipop. So I hand the kid, he was maybe 20, I hand the kid one of the books. And he grabs the book and he goes, oh my God, I want to learn this. I've been trying to study Sanskrit so I can learn the Vedas. This is what the guy with the cardboard sign says to me. So I immediately give him another book, you know, and I give him the mantra card. And the guy's so happy that he said, I thought I was going to, but I was thinking, he thought he had to learn Sanskrit, but Prabhupada just came to him in English and said, here, he's just standing on the corner. And, you know, I took that opportunity to be, you know, the 12th guy in the line. Like, the guy obviously needs it. And usually you hand them a lollipop and they eat it and you figure, all right, they got some, they got the Sukhaji, they shot him. But this guy just was excited about Krishna. So you never know what's going to happen when you meet the jiva. The jivas are amazing because they can be glorious and they can be just the opposite. And you never know. You can't tell from looking. My mind always talking to me, and I'm walking up to people and thinking, oh man, I'm hoping this person's friendly. Because when you're working, and that's what you've been doing for 40 years, you know, you want it to work. And unfortunately, your mind has all kinds of things, and they go, oh, this guy, that guy, no, yes, this woman, that man, that, you know what I mean? So, but you just have to throw that away and just approach the jiva and think, this is Krishna's devotee. He's forgotten it somehow or other. I've been reminded. I'm the 12th guy. So here, and I hand you the book. That's all we can do. Now, what happens then? It's up to the jiva and Krishna, because every jiva is in a different position with the Lord. But the Lord is in their heart. The prophet said, when you approach the jiva and you give them the book and you say, give a donation, Krishna's in their heart. And if Krishna says give, he's given. And if Krishna doesn't say give, for some reason, the prophet said, if he's not ready, there's nothing you can do about that. But you did your part. You went out and you approached the jiva. And there's so many jivas, they're unlimited. And all they're doing is they're tatastha shakti, which tatastha shakti means they're marginal. It means they're open to suggestion. You're walking through the mall and people are out there in the kiosk going, come here. Hey, we got some luggage. Hey, we'll fix your shoes. Hey, we got some cigarettes. Hey, they got all this junk. And I go, hey. And the jiva just can't refuse, you know. So I walk up and go, hey. And I look at them and say, hey, nice hat, nice boots, nice nails, whatever. And I give them something. And even if their mind isn't into it, like Vaish says, the hand will work. So when you go up to somebody and go, here, and you hand them the book, their hand just takes it. The mind may go, hey, what are you doing? Or the mind got all kinds of things. And then you have to look them in the eye and say, have you ever heard of stress? Stuff like that. These books are on yoga and meditation. They talk about how to get rid of stress and have peace of mind. And immediately they become interested because it's something that might help them. They might get something out of it. And that's what we're all doing in the material world. We're looking for stuff. The jiva's looking for Krishna, but he gets confused and he forgets and he doesn't know what he's looking for. So the Vaishnava has the, as Prabhupada called it, the thankless task of going out and trying to remind them. Some of them love it when you remind them, and others not so much. This is a really nice thing. I was just chanting japa the other morning in the temple. Yamaraj came to me and said, here, Prabhu, I want to give you this. This is a letter, a part of a letter from Prabhupada to Tejas, who was the president in Delhi. And I remember when I was in Delhi, Manasuda and I wanted to go on book distribution. So Tejas gave us books, and we went downtown Delhi, and we went in the hotel lobbies, and we sold books to tourists. We tried selling books to Indians, but it was really different, you know, after O'Hare. And, you know, they give you a rupee or something, like, and it was just, you know, and they know everything. So we went to the hotels, and we found tourists, you know, and the Euros and the Americans, and we sold them books. So that night when we turned in the Lakshmi and we gave back the rest of the books, T just went in and he gave the Lakshmi and told Prabhupada, these two devotees from Chicago went on Sankirtan, blah, blah. Anyway, and I didn't get to go in or really see him or anything, but we were there. I felt like, wow, we did something, and they told him about it. And I thought that was nice. But this is a letter that he wrote to Prabhupada about preaching, and it's a very short paragraph from it, but Prabhupada makes it so we can get our heads around what we're doing. The devotee knows that the underlying source of all human suffering is a broken relationship with Krishna. Oh, this is from Vaish's book. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing, but I'm going to read it anyway. I'll read the other one from Tejas next. Each and every soul in this world longs for Krishna. No substitute will satisfy the yearning. Krishna himself craves reunion with everyone who's alienated spiritual parts. The faithful devotee wants more than anything to bring the two together so that all are thereby fully satisfied. That's a nice quote from Vaish's book. This is the letter from Prabhupada Tejas. I'm in due receipt of your letter. Please accept my blessings. This is 1972. I'm very disturbed to hear from you that you have become disturbed in your mind. Do not be disturbed. There's no cause for anxiety. You're doing the best service to Krishna. That is much appreciated. Do not lose your enthusiasm out of frustration. That will spoil everything. Krishna consciousness means we should always be satisfied and happy. Not that we must work something impossible or become overburdened. No, we shouldn't become unhappy by so much trouble and lose our enthusiasm and give up hope. If too much endeavor is there, that is to be avoided. By all means, we must preserve our spiritual status. That is the point. Not that we are mad after big buildings, many devotees, life members. No. These are ways to engage devotees so that they may apply the principles of bhakti some kind of work for practical realization. It is not the result of the work that we want. If only one person daily, if we sincerely preach to such one person daily, that is sufficient. Never mind big, big programs. This is my request to you. Do not be bothered by these things. I have instructed Tamal Krishna and Shyamasundara to send you some men, so they will do it. Rest assured, Krishna does not like to see a sincere devotee suffer or become frustrated. Krishna has got plans for you. Always think in that way, and very soon he will provide everything to your heart's desire. I think you can do that. One person a day. And you don't have to explain the sandarbhas to him. You just say, Hare Krishna. I say to people, can you say Hare Krishna? And 9 out of 10 of them go, Hare Krishna. It's just, we have to take that step. The first step is really important. If we don't take that step, who's going to do it? If we don't own the 12th guy, if we're not the 12th guy in the mission, well, who's going to do it? Utsaha, enthusiasm. Prabhupada said that you can't do anything without enthusiasm. So he said, to remain enthusiastic, though, you have to follow the regular principle. Is there any other way? Yeah. Do we really? That's really what it is. Purity is the force. Prabhupada said that. If we follow what we've been given, Prabhupada spoon-fed it to us. All we got to do is try not to be offensive. That's basically our problem. We make offenses. Did I read that? Oh, you got to hear this. Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. This is one sentence. Speaking of aparad. Raghunath Bhatt. He was expert in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. He was sent to Rupa Goswami, and his engagement was to read Bhagavatam to Rupa Goswami. That's all he did. He would read Srimad Bhagavatam to Rupa Goswami. Can you imagine that? And he would read it in 3 different nectarian meters. So he's reading Bhagavatam to Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada said, it is also stated that he was an expert cook. Whatever he cooked was nectar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to be greatly pleased to accept the food cooked by Raghunath Bhatt. But here's the point about the offense. Raghunath Bhatt was engaged 24 hours a day in kirtan. He never cared to hear blasphemy of a Vaishnava, even when there were points to be criticized. This is important, because I've heard devotees say, Divyanga, he's da-da-da-da-da. And then somebody says, whoa, he distributes books, he's a prophet. He's like, yeah, but da-da-da-da-da. And there may be da-da-da-da-da. But according to Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, who is one of our acharyas, and Prabhupada says here, even where there are points to be criticized, he used to say that since all Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of Krishna, that he didn't mind their faults. Now, this is a safe program, this Vrindavan Das Thakur. Sarva Vaishnava Rapaye Kori Namaskar Ite Aparada Kichu Nahuka Mar means I offer my obeisance to all Vaishnavas, so I don't make offense to any of them. It's our death. It's the end of your bhakti lata creeper. If you have a creeper growing and a mad elephant comes and stomps on it, you're going to need a new creeper. So because we're in the material world and we have minds and we have false egos and there's all kinds of problems. We know it. There's all kinds of shortcomings. There's all kinds of bad things. But if you overlook it thinking this is a devotee engaged in Krishna's service, then you're over it. Then you can move on and you can progress in spiritual life. And the only reason that we're here is so we can progress in spiritual life. I also wanted to make a mention of Bhakta Muhammad Ali, who passed. We met him in O'Hare. I came around the corner and Magendra was talking to Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali's holding a Bhagavatam. And he was really asking a lot of nice questions. He was a very inquisitive, very spiritual person. And Magendra preached to him and he gave a nice donation and took a couple of Bhagavatams. And then a couple of weeks later, Muhammad Ali came back through O'Hare and we saw him and we were talking to him and he came over and he asked Murugan for some more books and he was just buying a couple more Bhagavatams. And one of our born-again Christian people that worked in the airport who just relished harassing us at every moment came running over to save Muhammad Ali. Imagine that, you know, some guy's going to save the champ. He comes running over and says, hey, you're talking to the Hare Krishnas. These are crazy Hare Krishna people. Don't talk to them. And Muhammad Ali, holding the Bhagavatam, looks at this guy and says, I made $40 million last year, but I don't know who I am. And these books tell us who we are. Which we thought was a profound statement for, you know, the heavyweight champion of the world, which was awesome. I mean, it was, you know, that kind of thing usually doesn't happen. You know, usually when somebody comes running up and yells, look out, you're with crazy people. They just want to rip you off, get away from them. They usually just go, whatever this was, they usually hand the book away. And you've got to escape, you know, before they have to be involved in anything they don't like. But Muhammad Ali was very, very nice. And then later, several years later, Ghanisham, Bhakti Chitravaraj, went to his home and went there more than once. And he had a full set of books. So Muhammad Ali got the mercy. And also another one who, you know, when I met Prince, I didn't really meet Prince. I can't really say that. I met his people. And he was coming through the airport and they got a crew, you know, and bodyguards and stuff. So I'm running toward the guy, you know, and then they stopped me and I said, give him the book. So I don't know how that went, if he got the book or not. I know Michael Jackson got the book because I gave it to his people. And I knew he was a vegetarian, so I said, this is a vegetarian cookbook, give it to Michael. Michael was 10 feet from me, but they wouldn't let me near him. They were just moving. And he gave him the book because when he left St. Louis Airport and he landed in L.A., he was in the restaurant in L.A., and the devotee said, look, Michael Jackson's in there. So Vaish went in there. And he said, hey, I got a book in St. Louis. So I know he got that book for me. And then he bought a Gita from Vaish at the table. Anyway, so Prince. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word life. It means forever. And that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. This was his thing. That he was... And the funny thing is, like in one of his lyrics, he says... we're all excited, but we don't know why. Well, maybe it's because we all gonna die. And when we do, what's it all for? That's a tato brahma jigyasa. This is the soul who comes to enlightenment. When we die, what's it all for? This is what it's all for. The something else. It's not just birth, death, old age, and disease. We don't want to get dragged down in the material world. We want to stay focused. So if we shravanati jal, which means to water with hearing, our creeper, shravanati jal, it will grow strong and healthy and we'll always remember what we're here for, what we're not here for. It's very easy to be distracted in the material world. Just remember what I said, the jiva, he's open to suggestion. Anyway, I'll end here, and if anybody can add anything, or if there's a question, or if anybody wants to say anything, this would be the time. I do have something else to read. Oh, somebody, nobody? Veda Mata? Veda Mata, book distributor, Haribo. Say it on the mic.
I'm just going to say that, you know, we think, because we have all these festivals that everybody knows now, and about all the traveling and how, you know, Prabhupada just sends people to you. I'm thinking, like, how sometimes when you go out on back roads and you go to country stores, and of course you have to move fast, you know, stand in front of a country store for 20 minutes, 25, half
That's
hour,
a long time.
Move. And, you know, you're going along some back road in Maine, New Hampshire, Ohio. It doesn't really matter. Just go down the strip. Go into a car lot and go hit up every guy that sells cars. They all have their little booth. And it's amazing to me sometimes out there that they don't know. I said, you've never heard of Hare Krishna? And they'll go, no, what is it? Is this some kind of, you know, and I'm like, always shocked, like, how can anybody in today's world, in the United States, not know the words Hare Krishna? So it's always so nice, like when you can see right away, like the sincere people that Prabhupada sends to you. Just like you said, they'll come out with outlandish statements. Like, yeah, I've been trying. You know, I have diabetes. I have cancer. I've been really trying to do yoga and meditation, but I don't know where to start. I said, I know where to start here. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you start. And it's just always amazing. I know for myself, I always now chant prayers, like if you get to a parking lot or something. I always have to tell Prabhupada, I'm an old lady now, and I can only do this for a few hours. So you have to send whoever it is you want to get you and get your mercy, because there's no more 10-hour days, I don't think, for the rest of this life. I don't know. In this body. And it's always amazing to me, and I'm sure you, even people that probably just go out for Christmas or something, they probably notice, you know, like, you just always sent the right people. They've never heard of it somehow. They just...
It's a spiritual thing that is the most important thing in the jiva sojourn. Nobody's doing it. Nobody out there, not that I saw yesterday in Orlando, is helping the jiva. They're selling them stuff and they're hooking them into stuff, but they're not helping the jiva. Only Vaishnavas help the jiva. Even though somebody might come and say, don't listen to him, he wants your money, he's a ripoff, get out of here. All he does is sell these books that nobody likes. You know, that's what they say. But the truth is that the Vaishnava is the only one that can help the poor guy. The poor jiva, he wants Krishna, but he doesn't know it. He's confused. But that's your 12th man part. You got to be the 12th man. Because if you're not the 12th man, the poor jivas, what's their hope?
Yeah, exactly.
Mahatma, you have something? Book distributor.
I go to the flea market in Valdosta. I was recently kicked out. After so many years, they finally... sell me. So anyway, I went to a vendor that he always gets books from me. So that day I said, take this book because it's the last one for a little while. I'm not going to come back. And he said, yeah, but you know, my wife's father is a priest. So for me, bringing these books home has been a little bit of a problem, you know, because they don't want me to read them. I said, I know, but these books are going to tell you the difference between the human being and an animal. I mean, how are you going to know? The animal, you know, sleeps, eats, and mate, and same thing with the human. So what's the difference? And he says, yeah, I know. It's like in the old times. Yeah, we used to know those things. And these days, nobody knows this. I say, yeah, that's what I'm giving these books to you. It's important for you to have it. And he goes, yeah, nobody knows unless they read your books. That's the only way they're going to find out. I said, exactly. So he goes, okay. I'll take them.
And if you weren't there,
so they know.
You could have got it. You know, it's your 12 man.
So
part.
They know in deep in their heart that they need it, that they you know, they refuse or reject a little bit, and then they know in their hearts that they need to be this book. We don't need to be. I mean, we need to be there, but we don't need to be there at the same time because Krishna's already doing everything.
Lord they Chaitanya, need us a lot more than we
Lord
need
them. Lord Chaitanya is already doing everything, so we just have to perform our duty as the proper tools to make them go out.
Thank you. Prabhupada says, within this very world of matter, listen to this, within this very world of matter, there's another hidden world of spiritual potency. Your utterance of transcendental sound vibration penetrates the veil between these two realms. Isn't that nice? One more time. Within this very world of matter, there is another hidden world of spiritual. It's hidden. People are walking down to the mall buying their junk. They don't see the spiritual. They don't see it. However, by the utterance of transcendental sound, penetrates the veil between the two realms. So when I go out there and hand you Krishna, I'm penetrating the veil. It's like I ran out of books like I always do. This happens at the end of every month. I run out of books. Luckily, I have a stash of Krishna, Reservoirs of Pleasure. A little teeny thin book. It's 11 pages. But if you give that book to somebody, he might read it and become Nagaraj. And then he might become the BTG editor. That's what happened to Nagaraj. Nagaraj told me he was walking, I think it was through a park, and a girl gave him a Reservoir of Pleasure. He went home, drank a six-pack of beer, and read the entire 11 pages. That's what he told me. I love it. And what did he do? He showed it to his girlfriend. She wasn't interested. He went to the temple and joined. Now he's the editor of Prabhupada's magazine. So I was out there in the mall yesterday thinking, another Nagaraj. Another Nagaraj. We could use some more Nagarajas, right? I like Nagaraj, you know. You give him this little 11 pages. And he was a lieutenant, you know what I mean, in the Air Force. But no, now he's Nagaraj Prabhu, and he's the editor in a magazine. What potency Prabhupada put in these books? No more questions. I'm gonna read this, kids. Listen to this. You're going to love this. This is Prabhupada talking about kirtan. Kirtan! Holy names! And there's been controversy lately because Madhava Prabhu says, louder, please, louder, a little louder, louder. Prabhupada says here, loud kirtan causes advancement. Ding, 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 ding. This is the Yuga Dharma, to sing, chant, and play cymbals and beat drums. I think if Lord Chaitanya was going to introduce the Yuga Dharma to the poor jivas, he would have told them, this is the Yuga Dharma, but be careful, you might hurt your ears. Plug your ears before you sing Hare Krishna. This is new. This is a new thing. This is old. Prabhupada said, loud kirtan causes real advancement. Sri Hari cannot be claimed by some Babaji's in Vrindavan. Come out of your tiny little cage and stop raising so many objections. Everyone belongs to Sri Hari. Go on chanting kirtan with loudly raised voices. Vociferous.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is our spiritual master's words. Come out of your tiny little cage. Come on, Jiva. Uta Jiva, wake up. Jeev Jago, what are you doing? Come on. Go on chanting kirtan with loudly raised voices. This is the Lord's personal instruction to all of us. And by the potency of that kirtan, remember the kirtan, it reveals the realm. There's a spiritual realm here that we can't see. So if you chant loud kirtan, guess what? You're going to see it. Only then... Will remembrance of the Lord's daily pastimes spontaneously come? And he goes on to say, this is the nectar shower of compassion. This is Prabhupada's poetry. I highly recommend this. It's amazing reading. Prabhupada talks about practical application of how you're supposed to be a devotee, what devotees are supposed to do. And it's just, I read it all the time just because it keeps me inspired. I just got to say that if devotees come together, just like this morning, we were chanting and dancing. I was tired because I worked hard yesterday. I drove 300 miles and I stood out in the sun for 4 hours. I was really tired. But when the devotees started chanting and jumping and singing and going around and around, I couldn't help it. I got right into it. This is what we do. We take advantage of the spiritual sound and we penetrate that veil and we go right into the spiritual world, which is what everybody's looking for. When I tell people they can get benefit from this, I mean it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his followers that one must act for the benefit of all living beings. And for a devotee, this work is the storehouse of happiness in the present and in the next life. So I admit it sounds easier than it is. But if you take baby steps, just like Tejas's letter, you know, preach to one person every day. Just tell them Hare Krishna. I did it. That wasn't so hard. You just never know what's going to happen when you hand somebody Krishna. When somebody gets the opportunity to get Krishna, it's an amazing thing. And if we get a chance to be in on it, we should take full advantage of it and do it. Thank you very much for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.